bring part of the teaching, and then Pastor Scott's going to come and bring the rest of the teaching. But if everyone would open up your Bible, or your phone, or whatever you want to read along with, Matthew 18, 21 through 25. And this is talking about the parable of the unforgiving debtor. So when you think of forgiveness, about Jesus toward you, it is an amazing gift, right? We think, oh, thank God Jesus provided the forgiveness that we needed that we could have salvation. Matthew 18, 21 through 25. So when we think of forgiveness that Jesus provided, can you hear me now? He can't hear me. Okay. Anyway, when we think of forgiveness, we think of a great gift that Jesus provided for us. He did the hardest thing possible. He paid a debt we could not pay. It was humanly impossible for us to pay the debt that needed to be done to provide forgiveness for us. So we praise God and we think, thank you, Jesus, for this amazing gift. But then, when it comes to human relationships, do you still think of forgiveness as a gift? That you can extend forgiveness to somebody else as a gift? Or is it more of a duty? Is it more something, oh, I really need to forgive them, but doggone it, they really hurt me. So we need to change our mind, shift our minds, and think of forgiveness as a kingdom of God principle that is a gift to us and is a gift to people that we are in relationship with. And it is a gift for us to live an abundant life. Because what it does is, even though there's bad stuff that happens to all of us, has anybody in here never had something bad happen? Right. Okay, so raise your hand if you've had a hurt happen. Right. Okay, did you have a choice in that hurt? Not usually. That's why it hurts so much. But Christ-like forgiveness is a gift that empowers us to have a say in how much that hurt is going to affect us. It gives us a choice to live in a better place, to live with joy, to live. It gives us a choice in the consequences of that hurt. So let's read this scripture together. Matthew 18, 21 through 35. Then Peter came to him and asked, Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? 7 times? No, not 7 times, Jesus replied, but 70 times 7. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who decided to bring his accounts up to date with the servants who had borrowed money from him. In the process, one of his debtors was brought in who owed him millions of dollars. He couldn't pay, so his master ordered that he be sold along with his wife, his children, and everything he owned to pay the debt. But the man fell down before his master and begged him, please be patient with me and I will pay it all. Then his master was filled with pity for him and he released him and forgave his debt. But when the man left the king, he had went to a fellow servant who owed him a few $1,000s. He grabbed him by the throat and demanded instant payment. His fellow servant fell down before him and begged for a little more time. Be patient with me and I will pay it, he pleaded. But his creditor wouldn't wait. He had the man arrested and put into prison until the debt could be paid in full. When some of the other servants saw this, they were very upset. They went to the king and told him everything that had happened. The king called in the man he had forgiven and said, you evil servant, I forgave you that tremendous debt because you pleaded with me. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you? Then the angry king sent the man to prison to be tortured until he had paid his entire debt. That is what my heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart. So forgiveness is a heart issue. Forgiveness is a kingdom of God issue. And the heart of forgiveness is a choice. Like, we get to choose. How many times should I forgive? Seven? Does that make it work? I mean, how many times? Who's forgiven seven times in here?
At least.
But no, it's 70 times seven. It's always. Because Jesus didn't just forgive me seven times. He didn't forgive you just seven times. He did it till it was finished. And he did it forever. So it is a choice. It is a spiritual principle. It is a kingdom of God principle that allows us to have kingdom of God realities upon situations that we can't control that have hurt us. Forgiveness is the highest law of Christianity. It's why Jesus came. Without forgiveness, none of us would be here at all. And we are most like Jesus when we forgive. We are most like Jesus when we forgive. An unforgiving heart is a heart that's bound. It's a spiritually diseased heart. It's a troubled heart. It's a troubled mind. And it's not a life that is at peace. And as that scripture said, that if you won't forgive, the consequences of not forgiving, it's not that Heavenly Father puts this on you and it's not a torment from God. It's a torment from yourself because it's a consequence of our choice. If you don't forgive, you are making the decision to have your spiritual heart diseased and blocked. God in his goodness has given us the choice in all of these kingdom of God principles that Scott talks about a lot of times. The kingdom of God bringing heaven to earth as it is in heaven, let it be done on earth. When we get to heaven, God doesn't say, I remember that sin that I almost didn't forgive you for that sin. That one really hurt my feelings. He did it completely. Completely. And that is part of that aspect of forgiveness is bringing, as it is in heaven, onto earth. I completely forgive you. Does it mean that my hurt feelings go away? No. But when I choose, and I don't have to forgive Pam.
Maybe for leaving you.
Maybe for moving to Great Falls, yes. But when there's an issue and you choose to speak forgiveness, it releases that right for that torment that you chose to let happen.
That's right.
So what you do is you say, I choose to forgive from my heart, Pam, if needed to be, or Scott, or whoever. I choose to forgive this person from my heart in the name of Jesus. And just as salvation is connected with what we say and what our hearts believe, there's power. The word says that if you believe in your heart the Lord Jesus, your heart, and you confess with your mouth, you're saved. It changes the spiritual dynamic. When you forgive from your heart, I choose to forgive so-and-so in the name of Jesus from my heart, it changes the spiritual dynamic. Because just as there is created power in God's word, he has created us in his image. There are power in our words to extend forgiveness and change the spiritual dynamic in our life. It might not even, that other person, like, there's a quote that says that unforgiveness is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. Like, you can be so bitter and so angry, so offended, so spiritually hardened towards somebody and they don't even know it. It's not affecting them. It's affecting you. You have spiritual hardened arteries in your heart. You need a heart. You need open heart surgery that Jesus is able to do through forgiveness. Forgiveness is a gift. We need to not see it as a duty to others, but as a gift to us that we get to have a say. They really hurt my, we've all probably walked through some really horrible things. Some unspeakable things. You can't change that. If we could, we would. That's why we're so angry. But when you speak forgiveness, you remove that legal right for the spiritual bondage in your own heart. And it allows new life to flow. So in this scripture, the first debtor was owed millions of dollars. And that represents us to God. We owed him something that was humanly impossible. We couldn't do it. But God, in his mercy and his grace, showed pity on us by sending his son to pay the debt that we couldn't pay. Yep. So then in turn, the second debtor here is represented by us toward other people. And so maybe Scott has a really bad day. This would have to be a really bad day. And he offends me. He didn't really. But the... maybe tomorrow. But the worst possible thing that somebody else can do to us does not equal the sin that we did against God, that cost us eternity, that cost him his son. And so when we can say, thank you, Jesus, for your forgiveness this way, but they better earn it when it comes this way, that is wrong thinking, and that is not being like Jesus. So this forgiveness issue is huge. How many times? Always. It was an impossible debt. Jesus made it possible. And it is a simple choice that we make. Everybody say it's a choice.
It's a choice.
And sometimes it's a tough choice because tough things happen that really hurt. And the thing is sometimes there's been situations in my own life where it was a process of forgiveness. It was a process of getting through the emotions that came with the hurt. But when you choose forgiveness, I choose to forgive this person in the name of Jesus, I release them completely from any hold that I have on them. And then say, 2 seconds later, you feel offended again. I forgive this person in the name of Jesus, and I release them completely. And then you feel better, and then like 1.5 seconds later, your heart is hurting again. And you command your heart to do what is right. Because that is what Jesus did. It hurt him. It hurt him when he died on the cross. He could have taken himself down off of that cross at any moment and said, man, this just hurts too much. But he endured it. He stayed there until it was finished. That is what it took to provide forgiveness. And so when we're going through the process, it stinking hurts. It does. It feels like we're on the cross. Jesus, really, if you think about it, he committed an act of violence against himself by leaving himself on the cross. So, when it comes time to forgive those really hard things, it is an act of violence against yourself. And you do it over and over and over until it's done. And then pretty soon, it might be 5, 10, 50 years, your emotions will finally catch up to what your spirit person has been saying. because we have the authority. There's the spirit person, there's the body, the soul, and the spirit. And the spirit needs to make the adult decisions.
Right.
We are all sinners. We all fall short of the glory of God. Every single one of us. Ephesians 4, 1 through 6. Therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling. For you have been called by God. Always be humble and be gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. And then 31 and 32. Get rid of all bitterness. It's a choice. Bitterness, rage, and anger. Just like forgiveness. These are choices that we allow into our heart. He says, get rid of it. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ Jesus, has forgiven you. Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma. It's a choice we get to make. And it's interesting to me where the scripture says, where it says, if you do not forgive from your heart. So is there a forgiveness that's not from your heart? Mm-hmm. It reminds me of the scripture that says, that where the Lord says that they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. You can give lip service all you want, but until the adult spirit person inside of you makes the decision to command your heart to do the right things, it's just lip service. It has to be from your heart. The choice to forgive from your heart is the difference between life and death. It can be the choice between health and sickness. There are physical illnesses that result from unforgiveness. I've heard testimonies of people that when they go through this thing called extravagant forgiveness, all of a sudden symptoms in their body that the doctors couldn't help, doctors didn't know, these things disappear.
That's right.
People have been healed of cancer after they've gone through extravagant forgiveness. It can be the difference between life and death, sickness or health, bondage or freedom. I already said it, but unforgiveness is like drinking poison and expecting someone else to die. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life.
That's right.
Proverbs 14:30, a heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. Our choices affect our physical health. Proverbs 17:22, a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. We are called to freedom. Scott said that in a sermon a few weeks ago, and there was something in me that just like jumped. He said, we are called to freedom. If there's a place in you that's not free, that's the place that Jesus needs to work. Because he didn't pay the price that he paid so that we could live in bondage.
Right.
So agree with Jesus in your heart issues. Kingdom of God issues are heart issues. Now in closing, there's three things. If you want to start taking inventory of places that you need to forgive, and I guarantee you that there are places and people, places in your heart and people in your life that you need to forgive. And these people may not be in your life today, But when you start taking inventory, ask the Holy Spirit to show you and begin to write things down. And it might be a whole pamphlet full of names and things that happened. But consider other people. Consider the hurts that other people have caused you. Write them out. This could take a long time. Not sure what's going on here. Anyway, and that's an easy one when it comes to others. Okay? We're good at keeping track, which we're not supposed to be because God doesn't keep track of our sin. Another place that you need to consider is forgiveness toward yourself. Because oftentimes we don't think about that in terms of forgiving ourselves. We have to forgive ourselves just as if we were forgiving someone else. For unforgiveness against yourself is the same sin as unforgiveness towards somebody else. It's unforgiveness. And it messes up your heart the same way. So forgive others, forgive yourself, and we've all messed up so many times. I'm the hardest on myself. We're our own worst critics. If only, why we need a savior, why we needed somebody to do what we couldn't do. And then the last place that I want to encourage you guys, and this might rock your world a little bit, but consider forgiving God. Not because he sinned against you, but because we get judgments and criticisms and hurts toward God because of things that happened in our life.
Right.
He doesn't actually need your forgiveness. He didn't do anything wrong. But where our thinking blamed him for something bad that happened, that's the same kind of thing that causes offense in your heart. We want clean hearts. Amen. We want to be free. We want to be all that Jesus paid for us to be. So we need to be extravagant forgivers that do not keep record, that are quick to forgive, and that even in those deep recesses of our hearts, where we maybe even said we'd never speak of, we need to draw those things up and speak the forgiveness and the life of Jesus over them. Can we pray? And Scott's going to come up and wrap this up. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for the gift of forgiveness. And Lord, it is not just something that Jesus did toward us, but we get to be imitators of Christ and extend complete forgiveness at every area in our lives. Pray that you would forgive us, God, and help us to be like Jesus. Help us in this process as we begin to be like you in this area, in Jesus' name.
Amen. So Luke 23 and in 30 and verse 34 says, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, what they are doing. And I think sometimes people can take that out of context a little bit, and they can say, well, Jesus forgave them because they didn't know what they were doing. So if people don't know what I'm doing, then what they're doing against me, then I can forgive them. But if they know what they're doing to me, then I don't need to forgive them. Can I tell you that is not true?
Yes.
And so we have a picture up here. This is Milltown Dam, and I'm actually stealing this from my brother-in-law. He did this a number of times for youth. So this is a picture of Milltown Dam, and Ken and Diana live right next to this. I live just upstream from this. And so if you look at this picture, everything looks nice and great, and the water looks calm. It looks nice, right? It's a kind of a nice picture. But the EPA came in and they said that there's all sorts of contamination in the soil underneath of this. There's all sorts of stuff that is built up in front of this, so we're going to have to drain the dam and take it out, and then we're going to have to take all the material out. You can go ahead and go to the next picture. That is the picture after they've drained it. It doesn't look so nice now, does it? Can I tell you the picture of that dam is a picture of unforgiveness? And that we can look really nice on the outside. We can kind of polish it up. We can make it look good. But when we choose not to forgive, then the poisons and the things that are, the hate, the hurt, the self-condemnation, the anger, all those things, they start building up behind the dam. They start building up in our life. And when they build up in our life, then it starts to poison the aquifer. It starts to leach down into good soil and create problems in our life. So when it comes to forgiveness, we need to forgive quickly and often. Can we go to the New York doors? So this next picture, these are 25-ton doors that New York City just put in their aquifers. In their drainage systems for their water systems. 25 tons for each one of those doors. But can I tell you, the lock that goes on those doors weighs 30 pounds. 50,000 pound doors. And the lock is 30 pounds. Why is that? It's because when you close those doors and the water pressure gets up against them, they're not going to come open. When the pressure of unforgiveness gets up against our lives, it gets harder and harder and harder to release. So the sooner we release unforgiveness, the sooner we forgive, the sooner we say, you know, somebody wronged me, but I choose to forgive as Jesus did.
Yes.
Just as on the cross, Jesus said, please forgive them, for they know not what they do. When we choose to forgive and we forgive quickly, then the pressure of the water doesn't come up against the doors in our life and create more and more and more of an issue. Yeah. You can go to the last one. Now, as Shelley has said, forgiving people isn't always easy. And I think kind of this picture doesn't really speak to how hard it can be. But the fact of the matter is there is an animal with such power that there is not a man on the earth that could subdue it if he really wanted to go after it. But he's being held back by a plastic chair because he believes that what that chair represents is authority or is solid. And we're called to freedom. We're called to freedom. And the thing that holds us back, unforgiveness sometimes, is like that chair. Although it maybe looks like it's solid, maybe looks like it's big, maybe looks like it's we can't overcome it. In the authority of Christ, freedom can and does occur.
Amen.
We can overcome it. It's just like a 25-pound door with a 30-pound lock. A 25-ton door? With a 30-pound lock. The locking mechanism for the door isn't that big. Just like a regular door, the door handle, not that big. It doesn't make up the majority of the door. Very small part. And can I tell you, when we open the door, when we unlatch the lock, when we understand what's actually holding us back, it's very small in comparison to the freedom that we get. So as Shelley has already mentioned, each one of us have had hurts in our lives. Each one of us have had things in our lives where people have hurt us, where we believe God has done something wrong in our life. And can I tell you, if you are holding unforgiveness towards God, then you believe in a God that is imperfect. And that's not the God that I know. You're believing in your own power. You're believing in your own wisdom over a being or a person that is all wisdom and complete perfectness. That he doesn't know what's best for us. And if I'm believing that I know better for my life than what God knows better for my life, to do with the Lord tonight, today, this morning. If you have business, you need to ask for forgiveness. You need to extend forgiveness to whoever it might be. You can kneel where you're at. You can come up to the front. You can kneel. You can stand. Whatever you need to do. But can I ask you, can I plead with you to get into a place where it's just you and God. I know in life real hurts happen. And when we're saying we're forgiving people, it doesn't mean that we can completely forget about those hurts. Not right away. But what we're saying is that I'm not going to make you pay for those hurts. Just like Jesus on the cross. He said, forgive them. For they know not what they do. The pain was still there. The nails were still through his hands and his feet. He was still hanging on that cross. The pain was still there. But he looked at the very people that were crucifying him. He says, I'm not going to hold you accountable for the price. And as on the cross he passes, he dies. He says, it is finished. And he pays the ultimate price. And the sin that was once ours, he takes upon himself. No longer our debt to be paid. Because Jesus paid it all. So can I encourage you to get into a place where it's just you and the Lord? And go through the act of forgiving yourself, others, and God. Forgiveness, Lord, has kept us bound, has kept us bound up, Lord. Kept us from getting closer to you, has hindered our walk with you, has hindered our relationship with others, Lord. Lord, we thank you for the truth in your word about forgiving. The principle of forgiving. So Lord, help us to be a people that forgive quickly and often. Help us to be a people that don't hold wrongs against people, others. We accept with open arms, Lord. Lord, help us to be imitators of Christ, imitators of you in all we do. Thank you, Lord. So Lord, now we pray for the tithes and the offerings, Lord. Lord, we pray that you would take them to the furtherance of your kingdom. Lord, that everything that is given, Lord, would be multiplied. And Lord, many would come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ through it. Lord, freedom would be released in Jesus' name. Life would be released in Jesus' name. Your goodness would be released in Jesus' name. Lord, and I pray your blessing upon the other 90% as well, Lord, that you would multiply it. You would multiply it. Lord, again, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your presence here. Lord, I pray your filling with the Holy Spirit, and you would guide us and direct us all the days of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The front is still going to be open for ministry. If you need prayer for anything, please come up front. We're here to pray for you. There should be coffee and some refreshments in the fellowship hall. Please join us in the fellowship hall, and love to talk with you guys. If you don't know you more, God bless you guys. Have a wonderful weekend.